Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, here today with Kate Hutchcraft and Becky McNeely. Good morning and welcome. And
a baby, Oliver.
Yay, Oliver is here too for the first time podcasting live. Oh, how are things going postpartum? This is okay.
Yeah, well, I was supposed to be on that one and I didn't wake up.
Yeah. One time she was going to be on one and committed to be on at 5 in the morning, I think. Yeah. Is that what time?
And I set an alarm for 4:30, 4:45. And I was like, this would be great. I'll get my coffee. We'll be all good. Totally passed out. Woke up at like 7. So sorry.
We were on there and was like, man. I felt like it was overly ambitious that she said she was going to be here.
I had those intentions.
But she is here today.
I am.
And always.
Part of it is good.
Tell them a little bit about how you're feeling so much better this time than last time.
Yeah. So last time I talked about this on our postpartum, but it was just a really hard time. And this time has just been so much better, even though I'm still sleep deprived a little bit. I just feel better physically, emotionally, mentally. And I think a lot of that just had to do with the preparation I did beforehand, knowing what to expect a little bit more from my body, knowing how to support myself nutritionally, I think was huge. Whereas before, first postpartum, I didn't do any. I did the nursery and I did, yeah, the house was ready and the aesthetics were ready for a baby. But
everything looked really cute.
Yes, it did. You know what? None of that mattered when I was crying. So We are not really, we're not crying at 3 a.m. now. Well, Oliver.
You are staying.
I am good.
Good. Praise God. That's awesome. I think that's hopeful for women to hear if they have had a really bad first experience with a baby and just knowing that it's not the same every time. Right. I've had certain struggles with certain pregnancies and not with the next, and then new struggles with another one that I never had before. So you just really never know what to expect.
Sorry.
It's no, it's okay. But yeah, Jared can edit some baby noises if they need to be. But just to be encouraged that sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse. You just never know. It's always a surprise, and you always have to trust the Lord. And it's kind of part of it that is meant to be hard. So it's like,
you get through it.
Yeah.
He sanctifies you through it. Gives you strength through it. It's all okay. Yeah.
Jared mentioned that on Wednesday night, the scripture, and she will be saved through childbearing. Just the sanctifying nature of childbearing and how through pregnancy, through having the baby, through postpartum, through mothering, like every bit of it is so sanctifying. And yeah, it's part of it. Not a glitch, but it's part of it. But that's not what we're here to talk about. But one thing I have to mention, I made a pie that I really liked. Ooh. And I feel like the world needs to know. It was a cinnamon pie. And my friend had told me about this a very long time ago. And I just had never made one until this week. The thought came to my mind that I should make a cinnamon pie. And I love it. And it's one of my new favorites. Okay. Have you ever had one before?
No. Okay. I'm a little bit nervous and I'm like dry about that. The cinnamon pie.
It's pure cinnamon. It is nothing but caked up cinnamon. You'll love it. No.
Scrumptious.
Have you ever had cinnamon pie, Kate?
I have not.
Have you heard of it?
It's so good.
Okay. It's a cream cheese base pie. So you have your pie crust and you put it in the pie pan.
Is it like a graham cracker crust?
No.
Or regular?
Normal pie crust. Put it in your pan, not baked. And then the filling is, I'm not going to remember all the amounts, so I'm not even going to try. But it's cream cheese, eggs, cinnamon, brown sugar. Heavy cream.
Ooh, that does sound.
Okay. So it's like a cinnamon cream cheese.
Okay.
Cinnamon cheesecake, I mean. It's like a cinnamony cheesecake in a pie shell. And it's so fall feeling and delicious.
That's the recipe.
Okay.
Post this episode. You know,
okay.
Post the recipe.
Yeah. And it was actually very easy to make and not time consuming because you don't even bake the pie. You don't par-bake your crust even. So it was like, put your pie crust in, put the filling in, and bake it. So it was very easy.
Yeah.
And it doubled well. I made 2 for Wednesday night. So
nice.
It was fun.
Yeah. I've tried cheesecakes. Brandon loves cheesecake.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried cheesecakes before and they always flop.
I need to give you my recipe because I make a lot of cheesecakes because I think they're easy.
Yeah.
Like it's easier to me than cake.
Okay. Yeah. I want your recipe because he likes those and I'm always trying them and they never turn out. He's a good sport about it.
That's good.
Sweet.
Yeah.
He gets it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm like, it's not right.
Jared really likes chocolate cheesecake. I make him that every year for his birthday. A The first one I ever made was the Ghirardelli chocolate cheesecake recipe. That's a Cheesecake Factory recipe that we had had one time there.
Yeah.
And he really liked it. So I found like a copycat recipe, did that. It was super time consuming and very expensive to make, but worth it. But since then, I found it's King Arthur's Flour recipe for chocolate cheesecake. And it's easy and delicious, just as delicious, just not as many expensive name brand ingredients.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I like it.
I made a fall treat last night. I made apple cider donut.
They're so good. They are so good. We did not. Our October has been absolute madness. And last week, Brandon and I looked at each other. We're like, we haven't gone to a pumpkin patch.
Mm.
And we're not going to have time to before they all close, you know. And the kids were so sad. And I was like, you know what? We're going to have a pumpkin day where we carve pumpkins at home. And we're going to have pumpkin muffins. And, you know, and they're like, but what about the donuts?
Yeah.
Because we usually go down to Rindleman's and have their apple cider donuts and their slushies. So I was like, I can make apple cider slushies and I will make apple cider donuts. And I made them last night and I made them gluten-free. So then I can have them too. And they turned out really good.
Okay.
They're super
good. What recipe did you use?
I think it was one that was printed off and just in my recipe binder from a girl who used to be a college student at ministry with Brandon. But I want to say it's a Sally's Baking Addiction one, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But it really wasn't hard.
Do you do it like a biscuit? Like you cut it out like a biscuit and then do a hole in the middle? Is it that like you roll out a dough?
I bought a donut pan at a yard sale
nice.
A couple years ago because June had to have it.
Yeah.
And it was 50 cents.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Yeah, let's get a donut pan. But I haven't actually made donuts with it.
Yeah. So this was its big debut.
This was its debut.
Pravi.
Really good.
Pravi. I actually bought it for ransom, and he used it a few times. But Pravi actually has a little, it's like a waffle iron, but it's donuts. And it makes three little tiny mini donuts. That's what she used for the craft fair or fall market. That's what we did. Yeah. So they are very adorable, but they take you 5 hours to make because you're making three mini donuts, a tablespoon at a time of your batter. So it's very time consuming, but they're adorable. I made venison for dinner's donut recipe and it's really, really good. It's been a while since I've done it, but we were on a kick for a bit and they are fried in tallow and super good.
Yes.
So you just like put your Dutch oven with maybe, how much is this? 2 inches? Maybe 2 inches of tallow. And pop your donuts all in that and fry them. And then you can put a glaze or cinnamon sugar or powdered sugar on them. It's just pretty amazing. I love them. One of the Little House on the Prairie books, the one, is his name Alfonso? Starts with, yes, Alfonso. That's where we first got the idea. We were reading that book and his mom made donuts. Maybe. Is that the one about him? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it was. And he was having donuts and Ransom was like, let's make donuts. And that was like the perfect timing of I found that recipe and that's how it all happened. And
did you know they have a
little Living Our Best book? Yes, I had it. So I have the kid version and I have the mom's version. Do you have the Little House Treasury though? Because there's, you know how they make those treasury books? Like I have the James Harriet Treasury, okay. There's a Little House Treasury and it's just beautiful. I got it for the kids last year for Christmas, so you should look at it.
Yeah, it's for
if you like Little House, you need the Treasury. I love those books. So anyways, today we are here to talk about quiet times. What that looks like for moms. Do you have one? The concept even. I was thinking about that this morning. I was like looking at the origins of quiet time.
Yeah.
It's definitely like a 20th century situation where it's not phrase was popularized recently. This has not ever been like a, have you had your quiet time today? Back in Abraham asking Sarah, did you get your quiet time in, my woman? No, Lord. Yeah, no, Lord. My quiet time has not happened. But maybe you want to go just like tell some life experience, what it looks like for you now and before kids or I don't know.
Yeah.
Say what you want to say.
Okay. Well, it was funny when you pitched this idea, was it this week, last week, whatever it was, Elsie's going through some major transitions. So up until like last week, my quiet time, quote unquote, was first thing in the morning because Elsie was sleeping really well in her room and the kids were sleeping good in their room. And so I would get up at 5 or 5:30 before the kids and I'd have my quiet time and get laundry started, get breakfast done, you know, get a workout in if I could or a podcast if I felt super ambitious, you know, get those things done. And I would have time to sit down with my coffee and my Bible and I like to journal. And so I would sit down with my prayer journal and all that. And it was a very sweet, aesthetically pleasing time.
However, I have found in motherhood, that's a very small fraction of my life. Like, I find these little pockets of time where it might be like a month or 2 months or something where I get to enjoy that and soak that in. But the bulk of it is just making it a non-negotiable and getting it in when I can. And you had pitched this idea and Elsie decided to bike through her passies and potty train and flip herself out of her crib. So now she's in a big girl bed. So she's going through those major transitions that are all very hands-on for me. You know, like I have to be right there with her a lot trying to get her, because she's a feisty, wily little one. She's very sweet, but just a lot of, she's like a kitten, is what I told Brandon. Like, you get her in her bed and you turn around and she's out and halfway down the hallway, you know, like she's just very fast. And so it's just a lot of putting her back in and putting her back in and, you know, staying with her. And she's ended up in her bed sometimes. And so my 5 o'clock, 5:30 mornings are no longer by myself. There isn't a kid with me, you know, at least one, if not two or three. And one thing that's been helpful is just knowing in my mind, this is a priority. This is not a, if I have time, if I can squeak this in.
It's a podcast.
We're podcasting at the church today. So we have academy classes on Friday. And first hour, we don't have work to do. So we're like, let's do it during first hour. Anyways, go ahead.
That's so funny. But so one thing that's been helpful for me is to, one, have a plan. I'm sure you're really floored by it, but
yeah,
have a plan. Don't just shoot from the hip and open up your Bible and say, I'm going to read a, you know, Leviticus today, which I'm sure should be everybody's first
choice. Always where I flist.
I need to soak in some Judges,
you know, to be ministered to today in Leviticus.
But have a plan, because if you don't have a plan for your quiet time, you will end up skipping Leviticus and Deuteronomy and, you know, some of those other books that are a little more brain intensive. But have a plan for them. Don't just shoot from the hip and stick to it and just make it a non-negotiable. I know Misty Winkler talks about choosing the priorities of your day and letting everything else fall underneath that. And so choosing to love God, have your quiet time, that has to happen. Love your family, love your kids, those things. Like, think about what your priorities are for the day. But I know for me, for a while, after I had Jack, it was this idea of, I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't have time. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I was working outside the home. I had a baby who did not sleep at all. I was like, there's no time. When in reality, there was time. It just wasn't what I wanted it to be, which was sit down at a coffee early in the morning, watch the sunrise, and have a very sweet 45 minutes of Bible journal. That's not realistic, but I could read it on my phone or have a hard copy of the Bible in the nursery to read through as I'm rocking a baby baptism for the 12th.
Yeah. Mine has looked very different in different seasons of motherhood. There's been certain seasons. I mean, just because you have a newborn doesn't mean that your quiet time is like less during that season. Sometimes there's been some of my newborns that have been really long nursers. So I've actually gotten lots of quiet time in. Well, depending on what you determine as quiet, but lots of Bible reading time in, because they nursed for a long time, you know, or and then there's certain seasons of motherhood where it just wasn't like that at all. And I am very thankful. You know, some people are like, Bible on a phone, so dumb and awful. But, you know, sometimes it's really amazing and wonderful, because it's gives you an ability to actually read the Bible in a very convenient way. And don't despise convenience when it comes to Bible reading. There's no rules of you have to have a King James and it has to be leather bound and you must be sitting and doing this. You know, don't fall into legalism in your own brain of what it needs to look like for it to count. If there's seasons that you can only listen on audio and you listen to a chapter while you're getting ready in the morning, praise God. Praise God that you are getting fed. And you have to just do what you have to do to get it in. And there's a, in honor of Reformation Day, there's a Martin Luther quote. And he's being asked how long he prays every day. And he says, if I have a busy day, I will pray more. That's not the right wording. But it's essentially like, I pray this many hours a day, but if my day is busy, then I pray even more. Where you assume that he's going to say, if I have a busy day, it will be a little less. But he says, if I have a busy day, I pray even more. And even more during really difficult, heavy seasons of motherhood or busyness or loss or grief, you should be clinging to the word and clinging to times with the Lord more than ever before. And even if your brain doesn't feel active, there's certain times in motherhood or postpartum or even grief, honestly, where your brain feels really foggy and you're like, I don't feel like I can read right now. I don't feel like reading is something that my brain is capable of doing. Do it anyway, because God will bring clarity. The Holy Spirit will minister to you in ways that you're not mentally knowing, but it's a supernatural experience of like God feeding you in those times.
Yeah, after we lost Nathaniel, I was given a devotional by Abby Wedgeworth called Held. And it was 31 days in the book, in Psalm 139. And it went verse by verse through Psalm 139. And at first, I felt guilty because I abandoned my regular Bible reading, but I found my eyes just kind of glazing over because the grief was so heavy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't process Malachi right now, you know? And so if your life takes a detour and you're given a gift, like a really solid, theologically sound devotional, it's okay to say, hey, I'm going to shift course here.
Yes.
And allow God to nourish me and feed me through this way, rather than saying, but I have to stick to that. You know, again, like you said, don't bind yourself to a legalistic standard in quiet time. Allow the Lord to grow you through through those other means.
But yeah,
that was a gift for me because my brain could not process chapter after chapter. And the way that she wrote that, just in case anyone else has gone through infant loss or miscarriage, she covers the whole thing in scripture, but they're only like a page and a half long of her commentary and stuff. And then there's journaling you can do, prayer prompts and things like that too. But that was an absolute like oasis in the desert for me.
Yeah.
And I think in my mind, you know, after years of doing the Bible reading challenge and things like that, where I was like, oh, but I'm not reading chapters and chapters a day. And there was a season for that. And then there still will be for me later on, you know. So I'm not knocking that in the least. But it's okay to say, hey, in this season, I'm going to read this devotional and it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I think I started in 2018 with the Bible reading challenge. Mm-hmm. And I think that was my first time. I know that was my first time ever. I think it was the year, but that was my first time ever reading through the whole Bible. And it was so fun and so exciting and so much growth for me in that year of just being like, wow, I can read through all. I've always been, I got saved when I was 5 years old, and my parents always really helped me to know that Bible reading was a part of my life and a part of my rhythm. And so I've always read the Bible, but that was my first time just reading it through like that with a plan. Yeah. And it was amazing. And I spent, I think up until this year, doing that. And this is the first year. I started out in January with the one-year Bible plan, physical copy. Mm-hmm. It's a Bible. I actually really like it. And so you don't have to have like a paper plan that goes along with it. It is a Bible that is set up in one-year plan format.
Does it have the dates and stuff?
Yes. Yeah. So it's you open to January 1 and you have your reading January 1. And it's just divided up into a year's worth of reading. So that was convenient. And I started out the year doing that. And then same as Becky, just hit a stopping point of like, I'm feeling a need to slow down in my study. And we've been going through Psalm 23, and it has been so lovely just to slow down and spend a week on a verse and really think through it and digest it and learn all the implications of it and just dwell there. And there's been something so sweet and ministering about that. And that's been a great change of pace. Again, nothing wrong with either one. Nothing. I wouldn't forever stay in something that you're gonna spend 6 weeks. Is it 6 weeks?
Yeah.
6 weeks on the 23rd Psalm, on one chapter of the Bible. I wouldn't do that forever. But there are seasons where it's like, I'm really feeling a need to be slow and still and ministered to in a very intimate way. And that is a blessing. And I'm so thankful for it. I'll say one more thing and then I promise I'll shut up. I feel like I'm going on a real long rant here. But one more thing that I was thinking this morning is there's also been seasons where I've desperately needed Jared to help me. Just the scripture that husbands are to wash their wives with the water of the word. And there has been seasons where it's been like, I am too weak in this season and I need you to come alongside me and spiritually wash me with the water of the word. And
And there's been sweet times of we like Spurgeon's morning and evening devotion. And that's something that we do together periodically. But just really sweet seasons of him knowing that I am weak and I just need him. And so he'll help me in Bible reading and help me in study and stuff like that. So being thankful for the gift of a sweet husband and knowing that that counts too. Like right. Everything counts when it comes to time with the Lord.
I was thinking about like how we nourish our physical bodies. We eat like, well, right now I'm eating a lot because I'm nursing. So I'm eating, you know, you eat, everyone should probably be eating 2 to 3 meals a day. I'm not a nutritionist, but everybody's eating.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Sounds like a good idea to maybe stay up night and not sugar. Yeah. So as often as we're eating physically, then how much more should we be investing in our time with the Lord emotionally, or not emotionally, but like practically, spiritually? I mean, you know, and so I was thinking this morning, like, how am I doing that? Because I do have the extra time when I'm nursing and that kind of thing, but I also have a toddler. And so, like you, Becky, you were talking about, I'm very much, I love the idea of sitting down with my coffee and it being quiet and having that, my highlighters and all that. And I actually did order myself some Bible highlighters for postpartum because I knew I would be sitting a little bit more, so I would be in my physical Bible more. And our toddler, Audrey, likes to do Bible time also in the morning. And so we kind of do it together. But I think one of the most important things I've learned in the last 3 years, I spent a lot of time that first year of being a mom being really frustrated that I couldn't have my ideal quiet time.
Yeah.
And then looking back, I'm thinking, wow, I made it very difficult on myself because it's not that hard. Like it's really not, but I was holding on to this ideal of my quiet time. I want my ideal. And if I can't have my ideal, then I just can't have it, you know? And so it was, I think that fed into why postpartum was kind of tricky because I was not changing the way I viewed my time with the Lord. And so I also, like Jordan, have a Bible, a physical Bible that goes through in a year. So it's a New Testament or Old Testament passage, New Testament passage, Psalms, and a proverb, usually.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it called?
Yep.
That's what mine is, too. Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and proverb.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's the one-year plan or something.
Mine's an ESV, and I can't remember if I have the exact same one as you or not, but it's got to be very similar. But it has been
that's the one Brie has.
Changer.
The same one as Brie?
I think so.
Because I got this one from Brie.
And I love it.
Yeah.
It's been very practically helpful. I struggled a lot getting to use my phone for a Bible reading challenge because every time I would open my phone, I would get distracted by everything else. And something about, I struggle with reading it on my phone for some reason. So I thought, well, if I just leave this Bible open, it has everything I need right there. I'm not flipping back and forth or scrolling on my phone. So practically for me in this season, that's been a really helpful way to get to go through the Bible, to practically be in the Word. And then for me, I needed a season where I wasn't feeling, I don't know how to say this without sounding like I'm devaluing the Lord's Word, but I feel like when I get to Leviticus at times, I'm like trying to slog through it and I'm not viewing it appropriately. And so it's helpful to me in this season to have things laid out where I'm going through an Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and Proverb. And so it's practically just helping my brain work through some of those harder, like,
you're not in 4 chapters in Leviticus.
Yes.
Reading one here. What?
Yeah. Yes. And so I think sometimes just reframing the way you're viewing, getting out of the bubble of, well, this is my ideal. Well, I usually listen to it on my phone, or I usually, you know, listen to somebody for half an hour and talk about, you know, background and talk about context and all that. And sometimes there just isn't time for you to look up the context of every single thing in every single season. You just need to be in the Word. Mm-hmm. We need to be in the Word. And so when I realized that, it changed the way I approached my time with the Lord as a mom with little people that need a lot,
mm-hmm.
because it will look different when we have teenagers.
Yep.
And it will look different in a year from now.
Yeah.
But I think just holding it with a very loose hand as a mom of little people, especially, and just knowing that the seasons will change, but we have to hold our time with the Lord with an open hand and know that He is meeting us in that time. So even if we're doing like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, we're praying in the little pockets of time when we're changing a diaper or we're in tears because mm-hmm. something happened or we're struggling or somebody's melting down and we feel like we're going to melt down too, Like he's meeting us there in our prayers and in our time that's not quiet. He is in it and he knows. And I think one of the things that when I realized that, practically I knew that, but when I really realized, like he sees it. He is in there with me. He is giving me, I was asking for opportunities. Like, can you help me find opportunities to be in the Word? Open my eyes to what I need to be doing, because I felt like with my first postpartum with Audrey, I was drowning and I just could not figure out a way to practically get my time. And when I started asking for opportunities, how can I get in your Word? How can I pray better? How can I do it more? How can I think about it more? And I prayed specifically to have him help me grow in love for his Word. And I think that did it, because he'll open your eyes if you ask him to. He'll give you the opportunities to pray and to meet him in the Word. So,
and sometimes those spiritual disciplines, it's like physical disciplines. Like when you first start working out, it's not really enjoyable. You're like, I'm making myself. But, and then Becky and I have been doing a workout plan. But like after a month or so, I'm like, I look forward to my time working out. And it's actually fun for me. It's actually fun. I enjoy it. I know that I'm getting something out of it. And sometimes with spiritual disciplines, you have to take the first step. Start reading your Bible. Start making an intentional time of prayer. If it has to seem legalistic to you for a bit, then that's okay. Take those first steps. If it's like at 5 a.m. every day, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do it. Maybe just take those first steps for a week. Make a plan that for a week I'm going to do this and just feel the benefit of spending time with God. There's a Spurgeon quote, again, with the quotes that I'm not exactly sure what the wording is, but it's along the lines of, if your life is too busy for prayer, then you're too busy. Then you're more busy than God ever intended you to be, kind of thing. So maybe you have too much going on in your life and you need to say no to more things and be wise about what you're saying no to. My mom has been mothering Becky and I about saying no to things lately. But sometimes you should probably not volunteer for every opportunity if you are too busy to even spend time with the Lord or be still. It's also so cool that the Bible calls us to stillness and quietness so often. And then all like the metabolic benefits of being still and quiet, like your body, actually, it's really good for you to be still and quiet at times, to be have a focused time of stillness and quiet. And it's just cool thinking about God calling us to things that not only are good for us spiritually, but it's like our body actually needs that. We actually do need to be still and quiet and prayerful and thankful and spending that time intentionally.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One thing that we've done, and I think if you are at home all the time with littles or if you're homeschooling, make this also a non-negotiable, but have a time of actual quiet for everyone in your house at one point in the day, because Jordan's
giggling. I can't. We were like, because she was saying this to me the other night and I was dying laughing. But anyways, yes, we do this too.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
But our like my people are not quiet all the time. Like, in fact, they're very loud little people. And if I don't have that 1 hour of quiet, one, they actually end up, you know, just getting at each other a little too much. You know, everybody starts bickering. Everybody gets tired, run down. My patience starts to wane. But we have an hour of mandatory quiet in our house. So the girls now, well, Elsie's learning it now. On a good day, the girls will nap for a while. And then Jack is like a little best friend. He just wants to chat all day. Don't know where he gets that from. But and I love it. I love listening to him. He has great ideas. He tells me all kinds of cool things. He has a million cool thoughts and I love it. But I need a break. And in a season two where I may not get that early morning quiet time, I need kind of like a buffer time of like, if I can't get up at 5 a.m. because I have a baby or I accidentally fell asleep in her toddler bed, which has happened a couple times, you know, then I need a buffer time of this is going to be my next pocket. And so we have after lunchtime, the girls go down and then I set a timer on the oven and Jack has been told, you may talk to me an hour. Unless you are injured, bleeding, something major going on, you may talk to me in an hour. And he'll come up and be like, hey, mommy, no, look at the timer.
Mm-hmm. That shall not speak to me.
Then he's over here laughing about it because, it, yes, we really are that serious about it. It's like, please hold on. Give us a little break.
Yeah.
You can talk to me at this time. And we do that in our house.
I'll see you in 40 years.
Yes. But we spend 24/7, literally 24/7 with them. And maybe, okay, we're all first gen homeschooling moms.
Yes.
Yes.
Ish. I was halfway homeschooled for like 2 years.
Okay. Doesn't count. Sorry. Okay. Just kidding. No, but pretty much first, and a lot of people in our church are first generation homeschooling moms. And I, at the beginning of all of this, I'm like, how? What? Like, there's no time. How do I do anything? How do I get anything done? Like, they're always with me all the time, even when I'm sleeping or pooping all the time. Just all the time, always with me. So we really do have to train our children in, okay, let's take a break for a second. You guys need some time of quiet and stillness too. So go do something quiet and enjoy the time of being alone for a second. And the little kids are taking naps. My bigger kids do something quietly. And yeah, my brain has to have that. And that's why we have a wake up time at our house. Like you cannot wake up. Well, if you're awake.
If you're allowed to wake up.
If you're fine, you may wake up. But don't come upstairs until this certain time. And it gives me a little bit of buffer time in the morning. And then that helps me to not be crabby when someone woke up early and dared to come and be alive upstairs.
Another thing that's helpful is if you have, because I'm sure you guys have been in this situation too. I've gotten up and thought, I have beat them awake. I'm so happy. I have a quiet house. I have my coffee because this is why I don't drink hot coffee anymore. This is why I have iced coffee. Is it just ready?
Yeah.
Like I get up.
You don't know how long you're going to have.
Straight. I don't know how much time I'm going to have. And I'm going to have to
just get it in. Get it in.
Or just drink it cold.
Yeah. I'm just going to start with it cold.
And now I just prefer iced. But anyway, so get my coffee, sit downstairs, I'm all ready, cozied up, all the twinkly lights are on in the house, and that's like you open the Bible and like the crackle of the tiny
is pages, he just something I hear.
It beckons them.
I know.
You're like, I know the one.
She's sitting still down there. I can feel it in my bones.
I think she needs company. I think she's bored. So the whole like come tiptoeing down. I have one. Jan's she's my early bird, and she'll come down and she'll like want to snuggle me and tell me all the things and chat and stuff. But I have set that standard of this is Mama's Bible too. Mm-hmm. If my Bible is open, even if it's at a different time in the day, if my Bible's open on my lap, this is my Bible time. Mm-hmm. And if they come up, as long as they are again like fed, healthy, not bleeding, not injured, they're okay. Even if they're bickering, I say no. Wait until I'm done. We'll solve that in a minute, you know. But just redirecting them until they know that, mm-hmm. hey, this is the expectation. Mm-hmm. And if you're establishing a quiet hour or you're establishing Mama's Bible time, you know, just know from the get-go, you're going to have to patiently redirect them a million times. Mm-hmm. But it will slowly, as you tell them, no, maybe it's Mama's Bible time over and over.
Yeah. Or look at the timer.
No, look at the timer. Mm-hmm. It will eventually, they will internalize that, and they'll just know, oh, if Mama's Bible's open in her lap, then that's her Bible time.
Time out. Do you guys have a second hour class to teach?
Either of you?
Okay, you have 4 minutes of class.
Oh, okay, cool. Another thing that you can do is just invite them into it. Read it aloud to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let them pray out loud with them listening. What matters is that it's happening, not that it's, you know, time efficient. If it takes you twice as long because you're reading your four chapters out loud,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
Yeah.
Another thing that's really helpful is, at least for the older ones, is get them their own storybook Bibles.
Yeah.
They're really intriguing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jack loves the action storybook mm-hmm. Bibles because they're like comic style storybook. Like, and some of them are really gross. But to a little boy, oh my God.
They are true to story. So, yes. And also there's really cool activity books that goes along with those. Do you have those? I just bought some for my niece. And they even have QR codes where you can scan the QR code and it takes you to a video devotional that goes along with your Bible story. So,
yeah, it's very
I have that on our Christmas list.
I didn't see they have a heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Like heroes in action or something like that for it. And then June has one that's called One Big Story Bible Storybook. It's spun off of the Gospel Project.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like is at the end of each one, there's a Jesus connection.
Yeah.
So even all the Old Testament ones connect back to Jesus. And I think that's super cool.
We have one called Old Stories New. And hold on, let me look it up. Old Stories New. That's the Old Testament.
And then there's one for the New Testament too, but it's really cool because it comes with coloring sheets that go with it. Mm-hmm. As a book of coloring sheets, I need to look up the right words.
But get something like that for them, because that gives them something that they can do, and it kind of teaches and trains them up at an early age of, hey, I'm going to spend time in the Bible every day in a way that's, you know, helpful for them. Jack's just starting to read, and so sometimes he gets super excited when he's reading like an actual Bible. He's like, I know what that word is, but we're still on first grade sight words. And so, you know, but having a storybook Bible is super helpful in giving them something to do, something easy to redirect them to.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, no, this is Mama's Bible time. You're welcome to get your Bible, and you can sit and read your Bible while I read mine. But don't be afraid of all of the redirections.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's going to take
time. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, they will end up sitting down.
Yes.
I mean, I shouldn't say. I have one kid that is, like, you know, can sit right now. So I'm not saying I know it all and all my kids will do this for sure. But Audrey mimics me sitting with a Bible. She'll grab Ben's Bible that has no pictures. It's not his Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wants the Bible like mine to read. She has a kid's Bible. And she'll sit there and read, and she'll talk about the passage with me, and we'll read a lot. Like, just practically invite your kids into it, because they will mimic you. And it's important for them to see Mama prioritizing time in the Word.
Yeah.
It's not legalistic to say,
yeah,
this is time
and,
in the Word.
And I was just going to say, being reminded that the parents set the plan and the tone for the day in the home. Don't feel like you're being overbearing if you set times and schedules and hours for certain things and not other things. It's your job to be a manager of the home. So if that means managing their sleep times more efficiently, my kids, whenever I first set their sleep time, it was an hour later than they normally woke up. And they're like, what are we going to do? Now they sleep till that time.
Yeah.
Because their bodies are accustomed to laying down, and they needed more sleep. They were needing more sleep. That's what that means. So just not feeling like you're being mean if you say this is our 1 hour quiet time. It's your job to manage what they're doing. Anyways, it's Old Stories New by Martin Wachowski.
Okay.
Wachowski? Did I say that? Wachowski? Those are devotions, like, for family worship, and it has coloring sheets that go along with it. And then there's a story Bible that goes with it, I think, because there's two books that go with it. It's like that Old Stories New and something, something, something. I can't remember what the other one's called. But
he's emotional.
Oh, Long Story Short. There we go.
Okay.
Long Story Short. And it comes with a coloring book, too, that has a sheet that goes with the Bible lesson. So if you're doing family worship and you're like, our kid needs something to do while we're doing this, then it's nice to have the little coloring sheet that goes with.
He has two other ones that we've done for family worship. One of them is called Listen Up, and one of them is called Wise Up.
Nice.
And the Wise Up was Proverbs. I can't remember what Listen Up was. But we've done those before and have linked his resources. So
it is officially 10 o'clock, so you have to go teach a phonics class.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Thanks for chatting. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Well, I was just going to say, not to get into family worship, but having a crazy family worship has really enriched our quiet times.
Yeah.
And it's fed into Audrey, who's 3.5, having a lot more to, quote unquote, read on her own. And so it's just been sweet to walk, to see the family worship time as a family benefit our quiet individual quiet times, and then vice versa.
Yeah.
It's just really sweet.
Again, having a husband that's leading your family in family worship, that is another time where you are spending time digesting God's word and seeing that as a huge benefit to you as well as a wife of, like, I may not have gotten to read my Bible today, but my husband is giving me the word, and what a blessing that is. But I think it's Rachel Jenkovich. Yes, she talks about this, but sitting at the table to feast, of like not being satisfied with that. If you are in a season where you are just getting the crumbs of what you can hear there, sometimes you have to survive on that. And that is part of life, part of being human, and not despising those times, but being like, God, thank you. I'm accepting this as nourishment for today, but not being satisfied there, but sitting at the table to feast and knowing that there is a feast that God has for you in his word, and being eager to do that.
And those are the times we really just have to be open-handed with what
yes.
we have. I mean, it's, and knowing that every day is going to look a little different.
Mm.
But I think one thing I had a hard time with was not being able to sit in on any of the sermons.
Yes.
For my first postmortem. I was just used to sitting there and listening and taking it all in and highlighting and, you know, all that, taking notes in the margins of my journal Bible and all that. And then it was, you know, when I was postpartum, it took a little bit for me to to adjust, I guess, from that. And then also realizing it's not my season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sweet season and the Lord's meeting me in it.
Yeah.
But I have to find other ways to be edified by scripture when I can't listen on Sunday. And a note to myself as well, I realize it's too late. If you are relying on Sunday sermons to be a big part of your spiritual walk for the week, you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Especially for a mom who gets to listen every fifth time.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. It's just not practical. And our church, thankfully, puts them up on our church's podcast, mm-hmm. which is so nice. But it's like being okay with listening later. And maybe you're not going to get 30 minutes to take notes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you know, again, holding it with an open hand, knowing the Lord is with you in it. And he's meeting you with your effort that you're holding up to him.
He knows that we are by dust. And in the nursing room at our church, I painted a window for back there. And it is the scripture in Isaiah that he tenderly leads those who are with young.
Yep.
And I just love that verse for that exact season when you're like, I haven't heard a sermon in so long. Jared will ask me, he's like, did you get to hear that today? And she's like, no, but I'm sure you did great. But there are times where you just have to be tenderly led,
yep.
where it's like, I don't know when the last sermon is that I have heard, but praise God, I still have the Lord. And that is the purpose of all of this anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I was also going to, I stumbled across in my Bible reading plan last night, Proverbs 26:27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it and a stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. So I was just thinking about all the ways, I think especially as moms, it's easy to get anxious about things or you get in your head about, oh shoot, there's that rash on my kid or, oh, are they behind in learning this? Or, I mean, I think women just in general are more prone to pits of things like anxiety, despair. Like we just have more emotional changes and hormones and all that. And so I've always kind of thought when I've had seasons of, especially first postpartum, I was kind of in just like a pit of anxiety and a bit of just struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about this verse because I kind of let myself dig my own pit, you know? And so let us not dig pits that the stones will then roll over because we are too stuck in the ways we want to do quiet time.
Yeah, that's good.
Or, you know.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
Stop digging a pit of how long it's been since you've heard a sermon.
And ask a friend. If there's a friend that's a little bit ahead of you in a season or just somebody that walks with you daily or weekly or what have you, say, hey, practically, how do you think I can change my time?
Yes.
What do you think would work well? What works well for you? And just let people speak into you know, give you ideas
I've had a friend ask me that before. Can you help me schedule my day?
Yeah.
Like, can you help? And again, if you've not seen being a stay-at-home mom or homeschooling mom modeled, it is confusing. It's like, how do you do it? And it's so helpful just to hear how other people, maybe we should do an episode on just our day, what our day looks like. I'd have to take notes. I'm not really sure. I'd have to think about what I do in a day.
And it's so helpful because it did take a while for me to learn how to be a stay-at-home mom. You think, oh, I'm going to have all this time.
Or you think it's just intuitive.
I just know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it actually does help to have meal plans and schedules and cleaning routines and all that. And then me now looking ahead, like we're a little bit into homeschooling, but she's pre-K age, so it's not crazy. But I'm looking at people who have, like you and Becky, a little bit ahead of me, or people who are homeschooling middle schoolers, looking ahead and thinking, like, I'm going to need tips.
Yeah.
I'm going to need somebody to say, this might work. Try this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So same goes for your, quote, quiet time with the Lord when you pray.
One last thing that I'll say is, if you're like me and you feel like everything has to be done before you're allowed to sit down.
Yes.
Because that's how I am. I'm like, work first, play later. That's just ingrained in my brain. And for some reason, quiet time feels like a play later.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a treat that I get to have once my work is done, before I get to work or something. Like, and if I haven't done it before work starts or once my work is done, then it's like I can't break up my work. Seeing it as more essential and fuel for the work. So even if the vegetables are not chopped yet for the soup, then you got to do that before this time so you can get it in the crock pot. Okay, that's okay. Pause, go and sit and be still for 5 minutes.
and saying, I need this. I need my fuel to be able to continue the work that God has for me, that I have lots of good work. Thank you, God, for lots and lots and lots of good work that you've given me, that it's a protection and a blessing for me. But I have to have the fuel that it takes to do that. There are many physical things that are fuel for us, but God's word and time in his word and prayer and being still before him, listening to the Holy Spirit, that is fuel that our bodies have to have to continue on in the work as well. So yeah, if you're type A like me and you are like, go, 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 I got to finish it all, then pause, reevaluate, what is the most important thing that I need to do right now? And to be able to do all the work well, to be able to mother well, to be able to be a good wife and a good keeper of the home, you have to first have your spiritual tank filled. Yeah. So.
Well, and also the same, but sometimes that time just doesn't come.
Yeah. You get going. And yeah, it just doesn't. It's never done.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. And so then you just never feel done.
And you never had that moment of peace of like, everything's complete and done and now I can do this. That is so rare.
Yeah.
To feel like my house is clean, the supper's prepped, the kids are washed, nails are clipped.
That time may come when we're 60 and are getting moved out of the house.
Right. But it may not come then. You just don't know. And I've learned that about seasons too. Yes. Not to keep waiting for the season, because sometimes the next season is a heavier season. And you think, oh, it'll be easier. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's more work. And that also, sometimes it's like, it's a blessing. God, whatever you give me, it's a blessing. And I'm thankful for it. And I want to work to the best of my ability. But sometimes it never comes.
Yeah.
Sometimes the doneness never comes.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait for that feeling of being done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's probably all for today. All right. Until next time, thanks for listening. Hopefully we'll be really consistent now that we found this pocket of time that we're able to record. So.